I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up in our international briefing, a new bill is being proposed in Uganda that would impose the death penalty on gay men and women with HIV/AIDS if they have sex with another person. We'll learn more about the bill, and we'll talk about the status of gay rights across the continent in a few minutes. But first, a true story that reads like a Graham Greene novel. The setting is exotic, the characters mysterious, the details almost too bizarre to believe. It was called the Wanga Coup, Wanga being British slang for money. And the plan was for a small group of mercenaries to overthrow Teodoro Obiang, the president of the small but oil-rich Central African nation of Equatorial Guinea. But the plan quickly fell apart, and the mercenaries, led by Simon Mann, were detained during a layover in Zimbabwe en route to the coup. This was back in 2004. Eventually, Mann was extradited to Equatorial Guinea, tried, convicted, and sentenced to 34 years in prison. But earlier this week, in a surprise move, Mann was pardoned and released from prison. He returned home to Britain yesterday. We could not resist trying to find out more, so we've called upon Patrick Smith. He's the editor for the prestigious London-based newsletter, Africa Confidential. His publication has been covering the story since 2004. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good to hear from you.
So, Patrick, what's the origin of the coup? Who wanted to overthrow this president and why?
Well, that is tracked back to a bunch of documents which have emerged, which really concern a group of mainly English public schoolboys, some of whom have served in the military, like Simon Mann, and some of whom served in intelligence agencies around the world. They got together, it seems, according to these documents, sometime in 2003, and decided to launch this plot.
But why?
What they wanted to do was to invade the country as a mercenary force, and that would be comprised of a few British soldiers and a lot of former South African Special Forces soldiers. They would then seize power, and in the second follow-up mission, minutes afterwards, would come a gentleman called Severo Motto, who is Equatorial Guinea politician, who is currently in exile in Spain. And they would then install Motto as president of Equatorial Guinea. Following that, they would then form a government, and they hoped they would benefit hugely commercially. That was the plot.
Now, Simon Mann says there were many players involved in the coup attempt. He names prominent people, including Sir Mark Thatcher, son of the former British Prime Minister. He named former South African President Thabo Mbeki. He says the South African government, the government of Spain, the CIA, the Pentagon were all involved. Is there any credence to these allegations?
Well, as the conspiracy theories have mounted since the arrest of Simon Mann and the others in Zimbabwe over 6 years ago now, the accusations and allegations surrounding the plot have got wilder and wilder. But I think the least you can say, if Western governments weren't complicit in the coup, they certainly did nothing to stop it.
What was the motivation for the coup, though? Was it simply that they wanted to set themselves up as the leaders of this country? They wanted to live there?
There are documents that were produced at the trial of Simon Mann, and these documents refer to him as Captain F and said that he would receive $15 million within the first year of the change of government. Another 10 others involved in the plot would each receive $1 million each. Given that Equatorial Guinea is producing about $40 million of oil a day, those sort of amounts are entirely credible. Hmm. I mean, the tragedy, of course, is that most of the oil money goes to the elite of the country, and most of the people in Equatorial Guinea don't see a penny of it.
I just want to play a short clip of what Mann told the BBC yesterday when he was released, and here it is.
Sure.
I am extremely grateful not only for my pardon, but also for the way in which I have been treated from the moment I arrived here in Equatorial Guinea in 2008. And it is a fact that I have been made to feel more of a guest than a prisoner.
Do you think that's credible, that he was treated more of a guest than a prisoner? And of course, it begs the question, why was he eventually released? He served something like 15 months of a 34-year sentence. Why was he released?
by all accounts, he was given extremely good treatment compared to the treatment meted out to most prisoners in Equatorial Guinea. And I've been there, I've interviewed them, and many of them are not fed, many of them are not treated for medical conditions, and either die in prison or come out in very poor shape. So he was certainly, to look at him, and I've seen the film clips of him, he didn't seem to have been too badly treated at all. Second point is he cooperated with the Equatorial Guinea government, and Mann was able to give them chapter and verse on how the plot was put together and point the fingers at those individuals. And that's helped them essentially to present the Equatorial Guinea government as you know, being the innocent victim of a horrendous coup attempt by a bunch of determined Western mercenaries.
Patrick Smith is an editor for Africa Confidential. He's been reporting on the attempted coup in Equatorial Guinea since 2004. He joined us from Paris, where he continues to report on this story. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. My pleasure.